Welcome back, everyone, to a new episode of Red Flags, Green Flags, Modern Psychology for Everyday Drama. In this series, we are talking about modern dating and the hardships and uncertainties many people experience in the dating world, especially when it comes to online dating, finding a long-term partner, or dealing with toxic behaviors. Now, the aim of this series is to help listeners better understand what people are actually experiencing, thinking, and believing. Not to judge what is wrong or what is right, but more to gain perspectives to our modern dating world. And by using a psychological lens to interpret these experiences, we can gain better insights on how best to navigate the complexities of modern romance, in which sometimes love is best expressed as an emoji. One thing that is undeniable about today's dating world is people's growing unhappiness with how they are being treated by others. Social media is full of memes, videos, and stories of how people are getting ghosted, catfished, wait for it, cookie jarred, breadcrumbed, and orbited. If you don't know what these terms mean, don't worry, you will learn about them in today's episode of Red Flags, Green Flags. It seems, though, that toxic behaviors have become the norm in today's dating world. Dating apps and online dating definitely play a role in the rise of these behaviors. But what else is causing people to behave the way they do nowadays? We will dive into the psychology of toxic behaviors to find answers to these questions, but also reflect on the different experiences that people have today. Joining me on my podcast today is Elha Mouda from Lebanon. She's a project manager in the luxury real estate space here in Dubai. And Abdullah Ahmed from Norway, a young finance specialist operating out of Boston and Norway, and here today to talk with me about the perils of modern dating. Abdullah and Elham, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to the show. So I love to get started before we get into the nitty gritty of things. I love to get started with just kind of telling the audience who you are and what do you do.
Hello. So my name is Elham Mouda and I'm Palestinian Lebanese. I've been in the UAE for the last 8 years. I've done my master's here, and by profession, I'm a civil engineer, and currently I'm working for the for a construction company in the luxury construction field. I'm single, and I'm so glad to be on this podcast so that I can personally understand how dating works and how I can benefit from it and make my dating life a success.
Fantastic. Thank you, and welcome, and thank you for being on the show today.
Hello.
Abdullah.
So my name is Abdullah. I'm based in Norway, born and raised in Norway. I have my roots from Pakistan, currently doing my master in international business, started in Boston, now in Dubai. I work mainly in real estate. I'm also a financial advisor in Norway, where I have my own company with my partner, where we work mainly with loan brokerage. I'm single, and I want to learn about this, understand how this modern dating world, how this is changing from before, and also look at this psychologically factors of how people are thinking now these days.
Absolutely. And of course, your experiences will help us to kind of get a better perspective to that. So you said you're from Norway, you're based here in Dubai. So how long have you been here in Dubai, and how you're just recently here? So I'd love to hear perspectives of how do you, you know, about being in Dubai, how have you experienced the dating life in that perspective? And I think you have more experience than you do, but I would still love to hear the differences in perspective, maybe comparisons, maybe.
I've been, as I said, in Dubai for the last 8 years. Dating here is so different than dating anywhere else. The thing is with Dubai, it is a bubble. So people fly into this bubble. They live in a bubble, and then when they go back to the real world, it's a completely different story. The fact that there are no relatives and families around, so people can behave as they want because there's no fear of what would my parent think or what would my cousins or something like that.
So Dubai is like the escape.
It is an escape. Yeah, it's a playground for big boys, for big kids.
Yeah.
Parties every night, everything's accessible. It is easy. Dubai makes things easy for people, which also has it has a positive impact, but also on the dating scene, it has a bit of cons to it. The fact that majority of people who come to Dubai do not want to to build a life in Dubai, most of them come here for a transition period. So when you're coming for a transition period,
you're not thinking like, about longevity, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Why do I want to build something with someone when I'm leaving? Also, on the other hand, many people arrive to Dubai and still find love and build a successful relationships.
Right. So both are possible.
Both are possible.
Maybe that second one is a little bit harder to do.
It is way harder to find the successful relationships.
Yeah.
What else from my side? I think that's it.
Yeah.
So far.
Excellent. Thank you, side. Abdullah.
Yeah. From Norway.
Oh yeah, Norway. And you like, I don't know, how long have you been now in Dubai?
So I've been in Dubai like around 2 months now.
Okay.
So not that much experience.
Fresh off the boat.
Same as you.
You know, Abdullah, what they say in Dubai here, it's either you find someone who just arrived and you snap him off the market.
Because
he hasn't been contaminated. No
exactly.
joke.
Before you get like, contaminated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or someone who's been here for so long and he's just done it all and he's just done with everything that he's actually searching for someone.
Yeah.
So you're a good catch so far. I give you 4 months from now.
Oh, I see something happening here in my podcast. We haven't even started yet. Abdullah, go ahead.
No, but I've only been here 2 months. So I don't have that kind of experience here. Mostly my experience is from Norway.
Yeah.
Where we have this normal dating apps and things are more normalized. There's not Dubai. I'm agree with you on that. That people come to Dubai for a short period of time, and they just want to have fun. To be honest, some of them even stay here, but they just get used to this lifestyle. This, as you said, partying, and you see all this money talks here, and it affects people's mindset. So you come here maybe with a good mindset, but it changed when you see this people's lifestyle. Yeah. Wherever you go, you see this beautiful people well-dressed.
Yeah.
So change your mindset.
Perspective. No, I think that's an interesting perspective. I've always said, look, I've been here in you know, Dubai for many, many years already. And so what I've seen so far is that there's like a curve. So there's like a curve that goes up, like, oh, it's like the honeymoon phase. And then the first 2 years, people do change to what you're saying. Like, not everyone, but people who are susceptible to it. Mm. And then they get into this kind of phase. And I kind of like, I always ask, how long have you been here? And like, oh, in my second year. And I'm like, ah, okay, I know who I'm dealing with. Mm. But after the second or third year, then you know they've gone off that, you know, high hill cliff. And they kind of put their feet back on the ground. And then those people who stay here 4, 5, 6, 7 years, those are the ones that have leveled themselves. They understand what Dubai really is, and they've gotten over the fantasy, and they look at more of a real place to live.
So you mean like they go back to reality, kind of?
Yeah, I mean, but kind of like what you're saying, like people come here by the attraction of what Dubai is, because it is a great place to live. It's safe. It is very luxury orientated, and so a lot of people get attracted by that. But I think it's a phase that you go through, right? And once you get through that phase, you kind of come out of it and say, okay, now I get it. I've been there, I've done that, but now you level out. So I see people going up like this, and then kind of levels out like that. So that's just a nice little insight. But I love the fact that you're giving that perspective, because you've been here for so many years, you've just been here for 2 months. So we have different ways of looking at the dating world, especially, right? Excellent. Thank you for that one. I just want to kind of follow up with some questions. So you're both single. That's great. So the audience listening and watching, like, both single here, we don't need to use apps. But when we do use dating apps, I mean, what do you use them for? Do you use them for to find love, or you just use them to hook up?
Can I go first?
Yes, please do.
So from my own perspective, I am not into hookups and one night stands and all of that. So whenever I use the app, I make sure that my bio in the app says what I'm searching for. And I get so many people that are looking for hookups, and they still want to match and they still want to chat. And I'd be like, but this is not what I want. So don't waste my time. From the start, cut it short and move forward. Personally, I use it in search of for love, because when you work for long hours, go to the gym after work, probably make yourself some dinner, meet your friends or family if you have any here, your day is gone. So you have very little time to really go out and socialize and meet people.
Right. And so basically what you're saying is that you know what you want. You know when you use the app intentionally, and you filter out basically what you just don't want. Right.
Correct.
So and do you find it hard then?
Yes, very.
Yeah.
Very. The number of just the stuff that you see there, you'd be like, but how can I have this as a husband? Like, it just does not make sense the way he looks, the way he poses, the way he's writing about himself. If a man cannot tell you about himself from the way he stands or just from the few words that he can enter on whichever app, what are you expecting of that man?
I also have this conversation with friends. So I've seen these things from both from the girl sides and the boy sides. And I've seen that many of these women, they write in their bio what they want. But these men, they have this habit of just wasting their time, even though they know that she's serious, she wanna get married, but they just swipe right because they just wanna have a good time. So it's kind of a waste of a time.
Yeah. So, you know, I spoke about this in one of my other shows, like the mating strategies for men and women are different, right? So women are more long-term mating strategies, where men, it's more short-term mating strategies, evolutionary perspective-wise. How does that behavior turn up, right? So again, you're using the app to try and find someone, but then when you actually see how many people are on the app not using it for that, they're using it more for kind of quick hookups and not looking for something serious nowadays. And it's not just a gender perspective, but there's also, I think, maybe the perspective around what do we want? What is a relationship nowadays? Maybe we can start with that one. How would you define what a relationship is?
These days?
For you. How old are you?
24.
24, so yeah.
So a relationship for me is... for me, it starts with dating. You get to know this person. Some people don't like to call it dating. but you get to know this person and you look for the right values. And I think if you're serious in life, you just want to get married. So this relationship phase shouldn't be very long, in my opinion.
Ah, interesting. So for you, when you put yourself into that phase, so it's a phase that you put yourself into, and then when you're there, you want to be quick about it.
Yeah, it was different when I was younger, maybe when I was 20, 19 years old, 21. But then you get serious in life and you want to settle down with a woman. And this relationship, I don't even like to call it a relationship. I just like to call it to get to know each other and then you can get married. Because if you're smart, you can see the right values of this person and you just find each other. Okay, this is important for this woman. She wants to settle down and she wants to have a family like this. You plan this and you talk about the important things and not about partying and clubbing and stuff. And I think this process shouldn't be very long. You don't need to be in a relationship for a couple of years to marry.
Interesting.
That's for me, a relationship.
So what I take away from that is that it's something that you put yourself into, a certain mindset. It happens and then you want to be quick about it.
Not very quick, but you use your time, but not too long.
Okay. What's not too long, time-wise?
I don't think you need
a week, a month?
Sometimes, yeah, but I don't think you need more than like 1 year to actually
know
if you want to marry this person or not. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think people who are ready to settle down don't even need 5-6 months.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Elham, what's your definition of relationships and how would you respond to that?
Relationship is having a partner where you have the same goals for the future, same perspectives to an extent, because you cannot be with someone who's 100% similar to you. You and your own sister are born from the same womb and you're completely different.
Right.
But at least someone who has the same perspective on life, someone who has the same values, as Abdullah said, someone who has the same goals as you are, someone who respects you as a person and has at least the basic values that you have. That person being with you together is a relationship. Does this mean that relationship is marriage, companionship, situationship, however people want to
define it.
Yeah. Correct. And for the time frame that Abdullah was talking about, I genuinely cannot say there's a specific time frame for relationships. My grandparents have met for less than 2 months and they've been married for 60 years. Other people have been together, and I know of close friends that have been together in relationships for 5 and 6 years. They got married and got divorced after 2 years. So there's no time frame. It's just when you feel, when everything fits together. It's like a puzzle. Exactly. Yeah. When everything fits together, it just happens.
Interesting. So would you say that before, for you, that's what you're mainly looking for?
Yes.
Was when you were his age, when you were 24, was that the case as well?
Thing is, that's where your culture plays and comes in perspective.
Right.
Where I'm from, we don't really date for fun. You date to find a prospective husband and end up married and start a family. So even when I was that age, I wasn't into just dating for the sake of dating. Any guy that you look at, him and you think, can I introduce him to my mom?
Right.
Will he be a good father? And that's how you think about men. Again, this is culturally.
Right.
I know from my European friends.
One question
friends,
for you. This process of knowing this guy, even it doesn't matter if you're 24, 34, 40 or 50, but knowing this guy until marriage, that is kind of for me, it's a relationship, right? Mm. You start from there. You don't mean it's a time frame there, right?
I wouldn't put a time frame on it. Well, the thing is, from my perspective again, if I am meeting someone and I know that this could build and end up in something, I wouldn't want, especially at my age, you know, that's where your biological clock starts ticking. Mm. So do I want to spend more than a year getting to know that person? If within a year time he couldn't tell that I could be his life partner, then what's the use of this? He wouldn't know in 2 years time. He wouldn't know in 10. So it is kind of just put a little time frame on it for the sake of my age. I think when I was younger, around 24, I wouldn't have thought about the time frame as much. But at this stage, yes, of course, time is crucial.
Crucial.
Yeah. But you don't look back and say, oh, I wasted time, or you had regrets or anything like that.
You learn from everything that you've been through, and whatever regrets you probably have, the person that you are today is a result of everything that you've been through before.
Right.
So no, I don't regret
it. And I love that framing.
Yeah.
I really love that framing, Elham, because, you know, a lot of people that I've spoken to, and, you know, some of my clients are 37, 38, and they're like, I'm so successful, I've got everything, but I just regret that I didn't spend time building a relationship. I would have had a family now, and if I had married X, Y, and Z, you know, this would be so different. And I say, don't beat yourself up. You know, you are so successful. Look at where you are today. It doesn't mean that you could have, you know, you're not successful because you don't have the kids and you don't have the family, because we always like to compare ourselves to other people. And when you have, and that's what I want to ask that question, is the moment you frame it that way, look, my experience so far has got me to where I am today. It's made me the person who I am. We are a product of our past.
Correct.
But we don't need to be a prisoner of it. And in other sense, that we can be happy with who we are, and let's bring that forward. But I love that positioning, because I think a lot of people listening right now who are at a similar age as you are thinking, wow, I didn't think about it that way. You know, I didn't think about, oh, let me just own it now. And, you know, this is what's made me who I am today. I don't have to feel regrets about not finding someone earlier, you know. Let's put some statistics to this. The majority of women nowadays, especially in the West, in the UK, for example, statistics have come out for the last couple of years that show that 30 plus women who are 30 plus are actually the biggest group of women now having kids for the first time. So women are now prioritizing career, and, you know, but there's still this mindset that we have to rush things up. And maybe here culturally, right, your moms and dads might push you and say, look, you have to get married. When are we going to have some grandkids? And they'll try and push, and they'll be very subtle about it eventually. Or sometimes they'll be very harsh about it. And you just always have that in the back of your head. But if you can let that go and just own yourself in this time and space, then you're going to be much more in a better position to find someone. Because in
the
end, it's about finding yourself,
correct.
Right?
Correct. And now that you've mentioned, when you beat yourself up and when you're not good in your own shoes and you're down from the inside and you go and meet someone who's picture perfect and who's probably your Prince Charming, that person, because of the energy that you have, you probably are not saying anything or you haven't mentioned anything. It's just the energy, the attitude, the mentality. It pushes that person away because you're not good in your own shoes.
Yeah. Hey, I also like to bring up some questions from my followers online, and I'll start with then you, Abdullah. Maybe you can start with giving an answer to your perspective, what it is.
Yeah.
So this question comes from, her name is Rini, from South Africa, and she asks, do people really find their soulmate through dating, or is it just by chance? She speaks about how her parents met on the bus back in the days, flirting, courting, etc. She says she doesn't believe today's dating world is about courting anymore. What do you think about this?
Not about.
Well, what do you think about, is it? Do you need to date to find someone, or is it just by luck? like without, you know, specifically because dating can also be luck, but like, you know, going to the supermarket or bumping in someone at, you know, at a party or whatever.
I still believe in that.
Yeah.
I still believe people can meet on a bus stop or in the mall or wherever in the world, in different situations. So yeah, I still believe in that. And I think you still need to date, to find somebody.
Yeah.
But I didn't quite understand, what is she?
Well, I think what she's alluding to is the fact that maybe, you know, in the, let's say back in the days, I mean, when I think about our parents, right? Mm-hmm. And I think about my time, I'm 46 already. So I go to a bar and pick up someone, right? But, and if it didn't work out, I liked, that's my Spanish side inside of me. I like to flirt. But nowadays you look at someone and they just turn, you know, they turn away and like, what are you doing? Why are you looking at me? Right? Like, not that saying that everyone is like that, but I think what she's alluding to is the fact that because we use our phones so much, we don't really
look around.
We look around. We've lost a bit of a social connection. Why should I go out to you, find out who you are, when I can go on someone's Tinder profile and get X to Z and know what they like, you know, from everything, from home to bed? So I think that's what she's saying. Like, do you really find someone, true soulmates and love, by going on dating sites? Because I think she's also saying, like, I've given up on them.
Okay.
Or do you actually really find your soulmate by chance?
Yeah. It's both. Even online, it's by chance. Do you know how many men are on social dating apps?
Yeah.
There's a ton of them. So it is also by chance. To what are the odds of matching with someone who probably flew into the country and left and then came back? So it is by chance, whether online dating or on the bus or even at a bar or at the mall.
Yeah.
It is chance, but also it is how you present yourself. Mm. It is how you, if someone looks at you and smile, just don't frown, just smile back. No one's losing anything. You know, just be nice, be your authentic self, and that will attract, being your authentic self will attract what you deserve.
But let's pretend that I see, let's say I'm in a bar, taking some drinks, I'm alone, and I see this beautiful girl who I'm attracted to, and I want to approach her. Do you think I'm going to approach her, and I did it, but do you think that if I seen the same girl on social media and went through her Instagram, I would approach her? Do you think it's a difference there?
I think, look, for
because
example...
Because you have this social media where it's very easy to find people.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like you have this this mindset of... That's this dating in the modern world, is that it's very easy to replace people.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. That you talk with someone and you are vibing and you have a very good time.
Yeah.
But you feel like it's very easy to replace this person.
Because
so you're always looking for something better.
Right.
But... when you approach someone, it's a little bit different. You don't have, I don't feel you have that kind of mindset. Because on social media, you just scroll and you see a person and you're like, okay.
So this is a very interesting conversation, because now you're saying that when you meet people in the real world, like on a bar, it doesn't have to be a bar, because a bar, you can almost expect to meet another person, but in a supermarket or, you know, at the bus stop or wherever, that you go up to someone and say, hey, how are you doing? And then because you and a lot of us might feel very fearful to do that, because it's a hard thing to do, right? And also rejection is part of the game as well. But you're saying that if you took that approach, you would be more long-term thinking or more respecting to the other person. Is that what you're saying?
I feel that's what I'm saying. That it's a difference between approaching on social media and approaching in
that's
real
interesting.
Life.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You, I think because there's not a human touch to it on social media. It's just someone.
Right.
Like, yeah.
It could be
there's a
anyone.
Screen between us, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
You have this real life in front of you.
Yeah.
You go, you have this energy.
Yeah.
You want to approach this person.
Yeah.
Social media is laziness.
Yeah.
You have these thousands of profiles. You can even see who this person follows, what kind of pictures.
I wouldn't say it's laziness. It depends on your lifestyle.
Yeah. But I love this. I don't want to lose this thought, because I think it's very fascinating. I've never thought about it that perspective. So, you know, one, if we go back to think about our moms and dads, of course, they didn't have, when we think about dating is for mating options, right? And to mate. And eventually, well, we could potentially get married. And then many years ago, when there was no social media, it would be hard to find someone. Plus, often we would meet people through other people. Correct. So there was some kind of vetting. There was like a vetting system in place that, you know, no, don't date him.
We've asked about that guy, you know, his parents.
Big fuck boy, stay away from him. Or don't date her, you know, no, it's just there's something wrong with her. You know, there would be that vetting system in the social perspective. And we do have that here still today, but with online dating, it becomes so open. You have access to anyone. Doesn't matter if they're sane or insane. But what I love, what you're now saying is like, I will go out, and if I really go out and meet another person, because that's what our moms and dads used to do, there would be more of an interest. And I think that the point here is effort. Not only were there limited options in the past, so therefore, if you found
that
someone,
that comes to laziness. For me, it comes back to laziness.
Comes back to laziness for you. Yeah, and in a sense, that makes a lot of sense, because when you have to put effort into it, you value it more. From
exactly.
Psychology, yeah, and it says we have in psychology an interesting phenomena called it's called the endowment effect. The moment that you own something or have something or you make it, you put more value to it. They also call it the IKEA, from Norway, sorry, Sweden. Sweden's the IKEA. So they call it the IKEA effect, because when people put stuff together and they make it, they feel more accomplishment and they feel, so it kind of, when you were saying that, I was thinking about that. So when I put more effort into it, then I'm going to value it much more. And I think that's what social media apps are taking away from us. Right. And because by nature, our brains and we as humans are very lazy. So it kind of keeps us in a comfort zone that we don't critically think anymore. And like you said,
and
it's easy to approach. Yeah.
That approach I'm making is the effort.
Building the courage to go.
It's the courage to do it, and you feel better that you have actually done it.
Yeah.
That's why I said laziness, because it's very easy to just...
It's very interesting. It brings us also back sometimes to the psychology of men, right? Men love accomplishment. They love winning. They love a challenge. Not always.
And this adrenaline.
Well, tell me more about that.
Now, this adrenaline is just, I think many men, not all of them, they like this adrenaline, this challenge. It goes together. That this challenge, of course, that, oh, I cannot make it, or it's maybe hard. Okay, you get rejected by a girl. It happens, right?
Of course, yeah.
And you still want to go for it. You don't like this rejection, and you have this adrenaline. I don't know so much about it, but I know that you have this inside of your body and it encourages you to do things as a man.
Interesting.
And I think it drives a man, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, if it weren't for the adrenaline that the men had, we would have stayed in caves. So, but it is men are hunters, and it is a fact. So whenever they love a chase. So that's why if anything comes easy to them. But again, you know what?
Yeah.
I think age and maturity plays a huge role there. Because if you're talking about a teenager, of course he will love the chase. But a man in a certain age is like, you know what? I've done my chase. I want something more stable now. So I really don't want to do the chase. I want someone who's
But when you say stable, you mean easy? Because
no,
there's teenager and this man who's 50 or 40, they are both chasing, but maybe in different ways.
Yes, they're both chasing in different ways, correct. But what I'm trying to say is that I actually lost my thought. Sorry.
No, but you were saying, as you were getting up, we all have different perspectives, right? And I love that we're challenging each other. We should, because remember, we have different perspectives. And I think the audience all have different perspectives and they want to hear from us. Mm. So I love this discussion, but you were kind of alluding to when you're younger, you might be more adrenaline driven chasing.
Correct. When you're, and that's why you do more risky stuff. You
hormonal,
ride bikes,
maybe.
Hormonal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at a certain age, but I'm not saying age as in when you're 28, that's not what I mean. I mean, when you have certain experiences, a certain level of maturity in you, would you want to ride a bike on Mount Everest at whatever? No, like, no, why am I doing this? I'm risking my life. So you start rationalizing things more. And in your search or in your quest for a woman, you don't go for the, very like lively, crazy, I mean it in a good way, crazy, not, you know, that you go for something that has had their own experiences, have a certain level of maturity, and then you meet. Because you cannot cope with that. There would be a huge difference when someone wants to go out and you're tired.
So I take it when you when you date, you prefer to date men your age or older?
For me, older. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you're 24. Own age or older?
No age.
No
age.
No, I'm just kidding. maybe the same age.
Yeah.
It could be 2 years younger, 2 years older, but not very specific, like plus so minus.
Let me share with you some interesting, because as you know, I'm writing this book, Red Flags, Green Flags. I've been doing my research, right? And of course, I've been looking at dating apps, and dating apps reveal something very special about human behavior, because it's the human behavior that we're not always conscious of. And so one of, I think, OkCupid came out with, because they do share a lot of data about their dating app. And they actually find that women generally like to date a bit older, up to 8 years about older. They do also date younger. And that kind of, like, as they get older, they I think from 40 onwards, they start to date younger. And it's a great thing, because I think there's also kind of the stereotype around, you know, like, okay, an older man is allowed to have a younger woman. You know, that's always, generally, if you look around cross-culturally, that's always been this belief system.
Acceptable, yeah.
And when we think of women actually dating now at an older age, you know, there's often a bias around it. Mm-hmm. However, what the data is showing is that when you're 40 and older, you actually, for women, their life satisfaction or sexual satisfaction actually increases when they open themselves up to move away from that bias. And funny enough, what they find in the data from the dating apps is that the 22, 23, 24-year-olds are more interested in dating an older woman than, like, a man of 40. And so why does this work? Because a lot of women say, oh, is this okay? Am I okay to date a guy at 24 years old? Absolutely, because what the data shows is that the 24-year-old, 23-year-old looks up to a woman and says, I look up to you. I see you as a rounded person. You're successful. They find that inspiring. And they want to date an older woman because, and older is not older, but like above 30, because they feel, 40 or 50, because they feel that they bring that maturity to them that they're lacking. And they want to be with an older woman because they feel that that maturity can help them become a better man. What's very interesting, they're also more willing to do their best because they know, I'm younger, so I need to show up more. Yeah. And so for a woman in her 40s, she takes a lot of pride from that, because now she, you know, maybe if you're living in a very, you know, gender role, traditional gender role mindset, you say, I want to be the provider now. I want to be the one making the decisions. And in that space, it's allowed. So you can change those traditional gender roles around by being more assertive and taking on that role. And a younger man would like to have that. So it's very interesting from that perspective. But as men, and this is what the data shows, as men, as they get older, younger women find them more attractive. And they also want to date younger women in that perspective. And I think the sweet spot age was 23 or 24, according to their data. So they show who is matching with who. And that's really interesting, because when we think about human behavior, we can only base on what we say with each other. But when we look at the data brings up some interesting data as insights about human behavior, especially around dating.
I can agree with you on the thing you said about when I'm 24. And I've had this experience, a personal experience of dating a woman who is, she was around 30 years old, I think. And I actually got a feeling that you're talking about that I am mature, but I want to be more mature. I want to maybe match her. And she makes me because of her, I want to work harder and be more mature. And I've also been with girls who are younger. Maybe let's say when I was 23, I was with a girl who was 20. And it's a difference in not all cases, but in certain cases. And that's very interesting, actually, that you have this drive that I want to work for it.
Yeah. There's different mechanisms at play. And I think thanks to this data, it's kind of giving us new perspectives and breaking down some of the stereotypes we have, you know. And look at Emmanuel Macron. His wife is 24 years older. Mm. Ashton Kutcher, he was, I think, I forgot her name.
Mia something.
I'm not sure who she was, but she was about 14, 15 years older. So I like the fact that we're breaking stereotypes nowadays. Hey, I want to quickly just jump into talking about, you know, when we think about dating, because we've all had our own fair share of experiences, and I guess bad experiences, am I...
I wouldn't call them bad. It's learning experiences. Yes, I've had my share of learning experiences. Be positive. You never
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. I love the resilience here. So let's talk about, you know, these common phenomena like breadcrumbing and ghosting. So ghosting, have you ever been ghosted before?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Have you been ghosted before?
Yes.
Have you ghosted?
Yes.
Have you ghosted?
No, never.
Really?
Never.
Never.
I find it disrespectful.
Yeah.
Probably if I were 18, I could give myself an excuse, but come on, it's common decency. The least that you could do is tell that person, thank you so much for whatever, dinner, drink, yeah, coffee, but this is not what I'm searching for. I wish you the best of luck.
Why do you think people ghost?
I think they don't have the courage to speak up and say, this is not what I want, or I'm looking for something different. Yeah. Some people ghost probably just to feel good about themselves, that, oh, I left her hanging there. I'm not sure what goes on.
No, I agree with the
first
one, that when I said I ghosted, I didn't do it now. I more like, now I know where I stand.
Yeah.
I'm on my feet. But then I was more younger. This is like maybe probably 3 years ago. And I ghosted. But why you ghost is because you don't have this courage to tell this person straight out that, hey, maybe I'm not interested, or you are maybe not for me.
Yeah.
We are not matching, and this is my opinion.
Yeah.
But you just ghost. Yeah. And then this person have this bad feeling. And
right.
Maybe
leave them hanging, right?
Yeah, you just leave them hanging. Yeah. And because of this experience,
yeah,
maybe she likes you. So maybe because of this experience, she will let it out on the next guy she meets.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but were you conscious about it? When you knew that you ghosted?
No.
Did you think about that having an impact on the other person, like that way?
Not in that moment.
No.
Because from my perspective at that moment, I was thinking that, okay, this girl is most probably just thinking the same as me.
Yeah. But
sometimes they're not. Sometimes the boy feels more for the girl, and or the girl feels more for the boy.
Right.
And that's why it's important to have this courage to just let the other person know and be honest.
Yeah.
Honesty is very important.
And this is where I think maybe sometimes our modern dating world, especially with mobile apps, you know, where we kind of feel that we have such easy access that we don't value a person anymore, right? We look at a partner as an option, not as a human. And because we see them as an option, we see, you know, like an avatar on our phones and whatnot, we just look at them as an option. Mm-hmm. It's crazy like how a screen can make us completely disconnect emotionally.
You said it in the beginning in your intro that expressing love is an emoji these days.
Yeah.
So
it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. We're digitizing. Look, I mean, this wasn't part of the topic on it, but I'm doing a lot of research on AI, and, you know, people are so fascinated by artificial intelligence nowadays, and they, you know, they think, wow, how ChatGPT, it's so intelligent. And what they don't realize is that ChatGPT, the technology itself, is something that we call weak AI. Weak AI is an AI that can do one thing only, like roll the dice, predict the next word that's going to come out. The only thing it's been done on, it's been trained on billions of parameters, billions of text, to which it now feels like it's real. And so, but the problem is the weak AI is very functional. It doesn't have emotion. It's not complex. It doesn't understand emotion so well, or human intuition. So as we're using the AI technology, it's controlling us, right? It's controlling our behaviors, but in a weak way. And so one of my theories is that the AI is dumbifying us because it's dumb itself, but we're not realizing. So we're basically becoming zeros and ones in our behavior through these platforms. So that's why maybe we should go back and meet people at the supermarket. And
I always, even when I was young, since I was 16 years old, I always believe in that. I always prefer to meet someone outside.
Yeah.
It means a lot for
me. It is the most beautiful way of happening,
right?
It's
the most beautiful way.
Yeah. It is.
It's original, it's pure.
Yeah.
No social media.
No social media. Okay, now we've talked about ghosting. Have you ever heard of the term breadcrumbing?
Yes.
How would you define what breadcrumbing is?
They keep you hanging there, and whenever they feel that you're getting away, they just throw you a bit of, hey, how are you? I miss you. And then you start developing feelings again.
Right.
And then they leave you there hanging until the next, I miss you or how are you?
Right. They just don't want to let you go.
Yes, they don't want to let you go.
Just keep you hanging, but just
probably checking other options and waiting to see which one fits.
Or seeing which one works at the moment, right?
What is the definition of breadcrumbing? So, I never heard about it.
Yeah, Elham, she gave a great explanation of it. So breadcrumbing is basically, you know, like think of the birds. Mm. Do you give it the whole bread? No, you just give
just
it
a
crumbs.
Bit.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
So you give breadcrumbs, you just throw it out. And maybe, for example, when you text someone, you text them once in a while just to keep them hanging. So they might believe that they might have an opportunity with you. You're not interested, but you just send them some breadcrumbs so that you keep them hanging.
That's a toxic behavior.
Oh, really?
It is.
Yes, very toxic.
You're wasting the time of the person.
Well, it's a game, right? And some people like to have, like when you have multiple options, you can only spend so much time with one. Look, before we have to spend time face to face. But now you're spending time purely like with multiple people. So you kind of keep it together. But what's very interesting about breadcrumbing, there was a study done, I think, in 2015 by Duke University. And they did this kind of line online, or it's supposed to be online dating, but they create the, like this computer simulation where you had three doors. And they said every time that you open a door, you get like it all has like 100 points. All three doors have 100 points. Every time you open the door, the points stay. And the other two doors that get kept closed, the points decrease. So it's supposed to represent online dating. You have multiple options. Is it a good thing, yes or no? And so what they found was, you know, if you like a door, if you like someone, you keep on opening up the door, right? But what happens is all the other doors kind of like get smaller and smaller and smaller, and then you've got one chance left before they disappear. And you would think rational behavior, if you like someone, let's stay with that person. But what they found in this study is actually that people are willing to give up the bigger pie, the bigger door, not to lose that one option. So there's I'm not saying that that's the only behavioral explanation, but I thought it was very fascinating.
It's interesting.
It's very interesting. And yeah. That's exactly what's happening. That's what breadcrumbing is, or what you already called.
Do you experience that at all? Or have you experienced
that? No, I've never experienced that. Oh. I never done it. I never experienced that. But I know that people do it. I heard about it.
Do you have a friend that does it?
I have friends.
We all have a friend that does it, right?
We always have some friends who do it or know somebody who do it.
I have a friend that does it. Oh.
Yeah. Just some breadcrumbs.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe 3 days later, just a little bit more.
Just more, yeah. Or a week later. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of reels on it and TikToks, and it's blown up because people can really recognize it. It seems like to be a very norm, right? It becomes a norm in today's dating world. Okay, so that's breadcrumbing. Here comes the next one. Cookie jarring.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
I think a lot of people don't know what cookie jarring means. Okay, so cookie jarring, like think about a cookie, right? You put it into a jar and you keep it there. Mm. Yeah, just imagine that. Can you imagine that? Yeah. So the cookie's there. I love cookies. We love sweetness, right? Mm. So the cookie's there, and then we take it out, and then we eat the cookie, and then we, you know, put it back. So the idea behind cookie jarring is that you date people, but you don't get them involved in your life. Like you don't allow them to come close to your friends. You might only date them at your place. You don't go for dinners outside. And then eventually, like, you can be dating the whole time and thinking, hey, why are we not meeting outside? Why are we not doing more than just that? And maybe the other person has a relationship or, you know, doesn't talk about you on their socials, et cetera. And
maybe he's married.
Maybe he's married. Yeah.
Correct.
Or maybe she's married as well. Not only he, right? So it's could go both ways. Yeah. 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 So have you experienced this, and do you see this at all? Cookie jarring?
I can't say I've seen it personally. No. And I haven't experienced it.
No. I think
I've experienced it.
Yeah.
So you date for a certain time, but you don't go forward with a relationship. You just keep it at the same level.
Right.
And you don't include friends. You don't.
No.
You
you keep them away from that. Yeah. It could be for many reasons.
It wasn't
right?
for a long time, but I have experienced it. Why is like that? It depends. I think some people prefer to keep it that way. And I don't think it's wrong at all. Some people just like to have it like that.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them.
If both
it's
people
totally
if
fine.
Both if both
people
are happy with it, then it's up to them. Yeah, who are we to judge? Yeah.
You do
it's
something fine. Maybe more in secret. You know, maybe it could be socially.
But that's also the thing that some people can maybe have a relationship and they don't want the other person to know.
Yeah.
It is one of the very common questions now. In dating in Dubai, where you ask, are you married? Do you have kids? Because it seems that telling the other person that you're married is not something important when you're introducing yourself. So you actually have to ask whether that person is married or not.
Right.
And you get the answer of separated. Have you signed the divorce paper? No, then you're not separated. You're still married.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had this experience actually. With a girl here in Dubai.
Yeah.
Only been here 2 months.
Oh, wow. Tell me about it.
So I started to meeting this girl. After a couple of times, I figured out that, okay, she is, till this date, she is married.
Yeah.
But she is going through this divorce, which will take up to like 10 months.
Yeah.
So for the next 10 months, she will be married on the paper, right?
Yeah.
So that was actually the case. But I don't, yeah.
Yeah.
It's nothing wrong about it. I think this girl can be open as long as she's finished with that, her ex-husband, she can meet other guys.
I personally have some reservations around that because, you know, why do people search for another person? It's like you become the replacement, like the rebound sometimes. And I've seen with a lot of relationships that, you know, people get very unhappy. And I always give the advice because I can see how infatuated they are. They're in love and they come to me and, you know, yeah, this person, he just broke up with his wife and they're still in the divorce stage. And I really love this guy. And, you know, and then my advice in that case is take your time, because you don't know if you're the rebound. Let's see how he or she feels about you once it's official. Because there's a big difference between you being married and wanting an escape versus I'm escaped and now me being with you. And my advice there is once the divorce papers are signed, give it 6 months.
Correct.
So during this divorce period,
you can have fun, do whatever you want, but don't really start. I mean, that again is my advice, is give it once everything is official, then and go into like officially meeting that person, because they might feel very different about you once those ties have been cut. And then if you give it another 6 months and after 6 months, it's still booming and it's everything, for it. Absolutely.
No, I totally agree. Everyone needs some time after a breakup to work on themselves, to heal.
Yeah.
Because it's not fair to come into a relationship and bring baggage with you. You need to deal with your own things, or own feelings.
You need time
and
to
then,
reflect.
And then enter the relationship, because you don't want to repeat the same issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, from inside also, there are feelings involved that need to heal.
Yeah. Hey, we've got 10 minutes left, so I just want to quickly jump into final thoughts. Final thought on what do you feel about cheating?
Completely unacceptable.
Completely unacceptable.
Same.
Yeah. But do people cheat? Do people cheat a lot?
People cheat all the time.
Yeah,
it's a lot of cheating, both from men and women. I have my opinions about it.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody. Like, I feel everybody cheats these days. People cheat, and I don't like it. It's not acceptable. But I also feel that. I'm not saying cheating is acceptable, but I think women and men cheat in different ways.
Right.
Men cheat, not always,
but
mostly I've seen that men cheat, and I heard that men cheat without feelings. And women, when they cheat with feelings.
That's an interesting perspective.
And that is very interesting.
Yeah, I've done my research on that as well, and it seems that men cheat more physically, but guess what? They hate when their partner cheats physically. Women cheat more emotionally, but they hate when their partner cheats more emotionally. And according to the research, often I get this question, how many men, so both men and women cheat. So when it comes to physical cheating, it seems, hold your horses on this one, 1 out of 5 in long-term relationships and marriages, 1 out of 5, so 20%, according to various sources. But we won't go into that. That's for a different show. But I just wanted to kind of, in light of time, I just kind of want to go through a fire round with you. And I'm going to ask you one or the other, and then I'm going to ask you very quickly, what are 2 red flags and green flags in relationships? And then we'll close it up for there. Okay, quick questions. Give me your quick answers. Cardi B or Nicki Minaj?
Neither.
If you could choose one.
I'm not a fan,
I'm not even a fan, but let's choose one.
Just choose one.
I'll say Cardi B.
Cardi B, yeah? Yeah, and what about you?
I would do the same.
Okay. I won't ask why. Okay, but so, and just going with the social norm here and the conformity of this perspective. Good. Cardi B, right? I like Cardi B, but I prefer Nicki Minaj. Just like her videos.
I don't want to ask why.
No. I just like her videos.
I think I've seen a video clip.
They're both fun. The movie American Pie or Mean Girls?
Mean Girls.
Mean Girls, yeah, for you?
American Pie.
Why Mean Girls?
Because I was not allowed to watch American Pie growing up. So
And why American Pie?
Because I haven't watched Mean Girls.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a great answer. Hopeless Romance or Single Forever? That's a very quiet moment.
Ladies first.
Oh, thank you. I'd take single forever.
Single forever?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, why sleep on your pillow every night with a heartache? I can be by myself and save myself the heartache.
That's an interesting topic, and we're going to talk about in that in our next episode, why people prefer to be single nowadays and not get into relationships. Thank you for that one. What about you, Abdullah?
Hopeless romance or single forever?
Yeah.
I think I'll go with hopeless romance.
You still believe in romance and...
Yeah, I do.
And chivalry, opening the door and singing a charade.
Of course, I do believe in it. Yeah. But if it's bringing me headache...
You're more realistic.
Then I am realistic. I am a realist.
Okay, quickly moving on. Mommy or daddy issues?
I'll take the mommy issue.
Mommy
because
issues?
As a female, we tend to nurture. And that's my way of loving. I nurture my partner.
Yeah.
So I'll take that. It's easier than daddy issues because otherwise he has a really big shoe to fill all of his life. So I'll take the mommy issue.
Mommy issues.
So when you ask this question, you mean?
For you.
For me?
Yeah. Putting you on the spot.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe which one? Mommy issues.
Mommy issues. Okay. And then final one, and then we'll go to the red flags. Snapchat or Telegram?
Snapchat.
Snapchat. What's your Snap score?
Around... I think 100,000, but
that's a red flag.
But no, but that's not that much because
I'm joking.
But we only use Snapchat in Norway or Instagram.
Okay,
we don't use this Telegram and that much. Maybe now in this this new generation, but I've always used Snapchat. So I've had Snapchat for like 8 years, and 100,000. That's not that much.
Yeah, I checked mine today before I was going to ask this question. Mine's 5,000 only.
Okay.
So yeah, it's not that bad. And I use it only purely for research purposes, of course.
Okay.
Because you know, pictures disappear and whatnot. Okay. For you, Snapchat.
I Telegram. Don't have Snapchat, and I've never used Telegram, so I take Telegram.
Telegram.
Yeah.
Excellent. So final question: two red flags in dating, or two green flags in dating?
Red flags for me would be a person who comes from a broken family.
Yeah.
And no ambition in life, I'd say.
No ambition in life.
Yeah.
And a green two green flags?
Green flags, someone who's genuinely nice just because he is nice, and someone who's good in his own shoes, someone who's confident as he is, and he doesn't need to put anything on to pretend being someone else.
Being his authentic
self. Correct, being authentic self.
Yeah.
You know what you get from these people.
And when you said broken family, do you mean like just single mom or single dad? Or what do you mean?
You always see it that people who come from broken families, divorced, you know, being raised with a single mom or single dad, or just having issues, childhood traumas, and they don't treat themselves. They don't work on themselves.
So people haven't done the work.
Yeah, correct. People haven't done the work. And majority of people that I have seen have not done the work.
Okay. That's a really important nuance.
Correct.
Though. Yeah.
Correct.
Because
you feel it in every way of the relationship. You see it, you feel it, you breathe it, and you're like, are you okay to deal with it or not?
Okay. Thank you for that one.
You're welcome.
Abdullah?
Red flags can be not intelligent. And the second red flag is a woman who is not able to adjust to the environment and to the circumstances.
You say that with a very deep tone.
I do.
What do you mean exactly?
Because I was thinking, I was choosing my words wisely.
Wisely, yeah.
It's important, right?
Yeah.
And the green flags is caring. A caring woman, and a family person.
Family person.
Family person.
Yeah, and when we said intelligence, what do you specifically look for intelligence?
It's not specific.
Yeah.
It's just being intelligent.
Yeah.
In different moments, in when you have a hard time, when you have a good time, even when you're out in the supermarket, just being intelligent.
Okay. Fantastic. Abdullah, Elham, thank you so much for being on the show today. Absolute pleasure to have you here, where we talked about just relationships in general, about our experiences. We focused on, you know, some of the toxic behaviors like ghosting and breadcrumbing, and we didn't even get to orbiting, but that's, you know, we'll talk about that some other time. But I very much enjoyed listening to both of your perspectives, because you both brought in two different worldviews about the dating world. And I love that. And I love that you challenged each other on this. And I hope you enjoyed this podcast as well.
It was lovely. Thank you so much for inviting us.
I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Looking forward for next time.
Yeah, many thanks. And thank you so much.